Welcome to the Can Be Now podcast.
We are the best and easiest way to stay connected to what's happening in your hometown. I'm Tyler Frankie.
And I'm Tyler Clausen.
Downhill skier Jackie Wiles was 2 days from boarding a plane to compete in her second Winter Olympics when she suffered a devastating injury in a World Cup race in Germany. In this episode, we hear Jackie's incredible story toward physical and mental healing as she works to come back stronger and faster than ever.
And we'll be getting out and about to an award-winning local bakery who's known for their amazing wedding cakes. But they wanted to come out with something that would appeal to the male demographic, and last month they hit on a winning recipe. Turns out all they needed to do was slap some bacon on it. But first, the news.
The city has decided to walk away from negotiations with the Canby Brewing Company, following a discussion in the executive session on Wednesday. The Nysent Craft Brewery, headed by Sarah and Jared Sloss, was selected by the City Council in January from among four proposals that were submitted for the space from various local businesses and organizations. According to City Administrator Rick Robinson, discussions with Canby Brewing never progressed beyond the preliminary stages. Robinson declined to discuss the negotiations in detail, but did say that there had never been a formal agreement with the Slosses in place. After preliminary discussions, we just felt that the right thing to do is to not continue negotiations with Canby Brewing, he said. We're going to look at doing something on our own, something else that with that building that will activate that corner. One possibility that the city will consider is a small business incubator, a model that has worked in other communities, including Woodburn and Beaverton. Reached for comment, Sarah Sloss said that they were disappointed in the city's decision, but would not be deterred from their dreams of opening Canby's first commercial brewery. We will go back to the drawing board and we will look at other options as far as location goes, she said. We appreciate the community's continued support. Though the big news from last week's City Council meeting was the reversal, of course, in the redevelopment of the former library building, the highlight was surely the swearing-in of the new Canby Police Lieutenant, Jose Gonzalez. Lieutenant Gonzalez was born and raised in Venezuela. He joined the Venezuelan Army when he was 17 and served for 3 years. At age 20, he decided to move to the United States to learn English, a skill that he had planned to take back to his home country. He picked Oklahoma City because it was centrally located, and that seemed to be the best way to immerse himself in the language. And this was back in 1983. Jose earned an associate's degree in computer science before moving to Portland, where he met and married his wife, Marissa, in 1991. He completed a bachelor's degree in business and began looking for ways to serve his new country. Here's Canby Police Chief Brett Smith.
He had a strong desire to join the military, but for different reasons and opportunities, it didn't happen. But he had a sincere interest and desire to serve his country, and in a country that gave him a lot of opportunities to be successful, but the desire didn't go away even though he didn't join the military, and he had a real passion and a calling to be a law enforcement officer, to serve his community, protect those people that he was living with.
For Gonzalez, his career has come full circle because his first job in law enforcement was right here in Canby in 1996. After 2 years, Jose left to join the Police Bureau of Portland, where he worked a number of divisions, including patrol, transit, drug and vice, crisis intervention, and gang enforcement. After 21 years, he saw the job opening for lieutenant in Canby and decided to come home. He said he's excited to be back and looks forward to meeting and serving Canby citizens.
I want to be to perform the best job that I can do for the city of Canby, the citizens of this city. And with just to do whatever I can to make the city better than what it is now. It's a great city, don't get me wrong.
Let me write that down.
Plans are moving quickly with the Ackerman Recreation Complex, a proposed complex of multi-use sports fields that would be built behind Lee Elementary and Ackerman Center through a collaboration between the City of Canby and Canby School District. A 13-member task force has been appointed, comprised of what Mayor Brian Hodson described as a good cross-section of the community. Those are in quotes. So he actually said that. The three initial design concepts are planned to be presented to the task force on March 18th. Of course, that's just the beginning.
And then we've got them queued up to come kind of run the gauntlet. So it'll go the task force on Monday, park advisory board on Tuesday, council on Wednesday, and then the school board on that Thursday. So it's going to be those initial pieces will be coming through. Staff and I have had a preliminary conversation regarding the intergovernment agreement that'll be need to be drafted between the school district and the city council.
From there, Mayor Hodson, City Administrator Rick Robinson, and City Attorney Joe Lindsay will meet with school district officials to discuss the intergovernmental agreement that would be needed to make the proposed complex a reality. The next step would be to present the project and the framework for the IGA to the City Council at a later meeting, probably in April. The complex will be built on approximately 25 acres of land owned by the Camby School District. Though much of it is up in the air right now, discussions have included the possibility of lighted softball, baseball, soccer, and football fields, and tennis, basketball, and even pickleball courts. Left unsaid, of course, is what the heck pickleball is. Actually, I don't like that Frankie wrote that, because I know what pickleball is, and it's awesome, and I can't wait for us to have a court there. The Camby City Council was awarded a $500,000 contract for street improvements on North Maple Street between 10th and 14th Streets. The scope of the work includes street resurfacing and the addition of curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. The city received 8 bids for the project and selected the lowest one, $522,949.50. I just love that there's 50 cents in there. From Sherwood-based Eagle and Elsner Incorporated. The city received a $400,000 grant for the project from the Oregon Department of Transportation. The remaining $123,000 will come from the city's Storm Sewer and Street Fund. The inclusion of sidewalks and other improvements was made possible through the cooperation of property owners along Maple Street. A fact that did not go unnoticed last week. Here's City Administrator Rick Robinson.
This project does include sidewalks as well as the street improvements, and we would not have been successful in completing this entire project without the cooperation and participation of property owners who dedicated easements in front of their homes and in their front yards that allowed us to build a street and sidewalk project from 10th all the way through 14th with no interruptions. I'm very, very pleased and very appreciative of the residents for doing this.
That's great.
Yeah, that's no small feat to do, so I appreciate the homeowners for that.
The city approved the contract with an emergency clause, so the work can begin as soon as possible. Robinson said the hope is that work can be completed prior to the busy summer season at Maple Street Park. The Camby School District Board of Directors voted Thursday to extend the school's calendar 2 days to make up for school days that were canceled due to weather conditions. Therefore, the last day of school for K-11 students will change from June 12th to June 14th. These makeup days, which were built into the school district's calendar, do not affect graduating seniors. Camby High's graduation ceremony will take place as planned on June 7th. Students in the Head Start preschool program will also have 2 days added to their calendar on June 10th and 11th. The Camby School Board also voted to replace the artificial turf on the high school's athletic field, which was recently declared unfit for spring activities. They directed Camby District staff to move forward with developing a timeline for the project. District funds will cover the cost of the replacement, though estimates are not yet available. The expense is expected to be much less than the initial $950,000 it originally cost to install, due to the drainage and other needed substructures already being in place. As of December 2018, the district had just shy of $300,000 saved in its turf replacement fund.
This is Sarah Spoon from Cambie's own residential real estate company, Victory Point Property Group, with your Cambie Real Estate Update for the week of March 10th, 2019. Last week, 9 homes in Cambie were listed. 10 homes went sale pending with an average 43 days on the market. 3 homes sold with an average sales price of $499,667 and an average of 15 days on the market. Overall days on the market for all listings are holding at 125, up 2 days since February 1st. If you'd like to know how much your home could sell for, or if you're interested in purchasing a home, we're your local experts. You can find us at www.victorypointhomes.com or 503-263-4700.
More than 1.2 million Americans receive internet, TV, and telephone services from community cooperatives like Direct Link. They believe that their role revolves around partnerships, whether sponsoring a local event, hosting educational classes, or investing in fiber internet technology. Direct Link is here for our community because they are a part of our community.
Beyond just working in Cambie, most of DirectLink's employees live here as well. DirectLink's investment in the local area reaches past business interests and extends into the everyday lives of neighbors, friends, and families. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities. See It Through by Edgar Albert Guest. When you're up against a trouble, meet it squarely, face to face. Lift your chin and set your shoulders. Plant your feet and take a brace. When it's vain to try to dodge it, do the best that you can do. You may fail, but you may conquer. See it through. Black may be the clouds about you, and your future may seem grim. But don't let your nerve desert you. Keep yourself in fighting trim. If the worst is bound to happen, spite of all that you can do, running from it will not save you. See it through. Even hope may seem but futile when with troubles you're beset, but remember you are facing just what others first have met. You may fail but fall still fighting, don't give up whate'er you do. Eyes front, head high to the finish, see it through. On the Cambie Conversation today, we have a very special guest. Jackie Wiles is an Aurora native and a former Cambie Cougar and Cambie High School grad, but she's perhaps better known as a World Cup Alpine ski racer competing in the downhill and Super G events. She won the U.S. Alpine Championship downhill title twice in 2013 and 2014 and was named to the 2014 U.S. Olympic team at the age of 21. She made the team again last year, but just as she was set to accompany the U.S. ski team to Pyeongchang, South Korea for the opening of the 2018 Winter Olympics, she suffered a devastating knee injury in the middle of a World Cup race in Germany. She spent most of the past 12 months doing rehab, physical therapy, and other training exercises, working to come back from her injury stronger, faster, and better than ever. She joins us on the line now. Jackie, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. So before we talk about more pleasant stuff, do you think you could take us back to the day of the accident? Can you tell us what happened or what you remember from that day?
Yeah, we were racing in Germany. We had been in Europe for the previous couple months, racing around at different World Cup venues. Mm-hmm. And Garmisch, Germany was our last stop before the Olympics. I was having a really successful season and only had one more race to go before flying to Korea. I had already made the Olympic team and was really excited to I feel like I was really peaking at the right moment, and
yeah,
I was looking
course.
Forward to showing, what I had, and just took a really unfortunate spill the last race before, and it was definitely a heartbreaker to have it be so close to the Olympics and such a significant injury. So yeah, it was heartbreaking, but I feel like I'm in a really good place now, and excited to keep working hard to get back.
Yeah, for sure. So that day, you were actually taken off the slope by helicopter. Do you remember much? Was it kind of a blur? Did you realize how bad the injury was at the time, or did that come later?
Yeah, so at World Cup races, the Federation, the Ski Federation, International Ski Federation has a rule just to keep the races going with TV and a lot of money in it, so they try to get the racers off as fast as possible, and mm-hmm. in my circumstance, I was not going to be able to ski down. So they always have a protocol to have a helicopter at each venue to easily get athletes to the nearest hospital if needed.
Oh, okay.
I remember it very vividly because when I crashed, my leg kind of hurt, but I think I was mostly in shock because I knew I was going to the Olympics in 2 days. And I think it was just like, no, I can't be hurt. Like, there's no way. Like, my shin kind of hurts a little bit, but it's not that bad. So
yeah.
I tried to stand up and walk it off. And at that point, I was like, uh-oh, I can't put any pressure on my leg. So they had to helicopter me to the nearest hospital. And I'm grateful that it was really quick process before the pain set in.
Yeah. I just can't imagine. I mean, you mentioned that it was heartbreaking, but I mean, that's got to be next level to just be a couple days. I mean, you had been to the Olympics before. This was going to be your second time, but for that pinnacle of all athletic events, and you know, for such a small number of athletes around the world that are at that level, to have something like that happen, just be snatched out of your grasp by a freak injury. That's hard.
It was very emotional, as you can imagine, I'm sure. But
for sure, how'd you get through it?
Yeah, it's been a long year.
Mm-hmm.
At first, just kind of just going day to day, not really thinking too far ahead, just because that gets overwhelming. It was hard to watch the Olympics, but I wanted to support my teammates and kind of still feel that patriotism of being a part of Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, there's been a lot of up and downs with therapy and trying to get back to where I'm at. But I'm finally feeling like my knee is getting to a point where I'm feeling athletic again, and I'm starting to feel more optimistic and hopeful that I'll be back to where I was before. Mm. So,
cool. Were you always going to make the comeback or try for the comeback, or was there a part of you maybe earlier on that was, you know, once you knew how serious the injury was, like maybe that's it for me, maybe that's it for my career, or was that never in your head?
At first, it was never in my head. When I was getting imaging done originally, I didn't know how bad it was until I went to the Stedman Clinic in Vail, and they have the technology that showed way more than the German hospital had. So that was kind of a shocker, but at that point, having never had a knee injury, I still was extremely optimistic, a little maybe naive, never having had a knee injury. So I was like, yeah, I could get back in 6 to 8 months. Like, why not?
Yeah.
And I, over the course that this last year has had, there's been a lot of moments that I've questioned whether I would be able to get back just because my knee feels completely different. And I've just started to realize that my knee's going to have a new normal, which is okay. But of course, like, there's still a lot of highs and lows, but now about 3 weeks ago, I had another surgery to get the hardware taken out and a platelet-rich plasma injection, and my knee is feeling completely different now, so much better. Yeah, it'll still never feel the same, but I'm actually starting to feel a little bit normal again. Mm. So
that's amazing.
It's just a process. And at first I went through the grieving process multiple times and a lot of highs and different lows. And it's just been a journey, but I feel like I've gained a lot of growth through it as well.
Mm-hmm. What were the extent of the injuries we haven't mentioned? I mean, you had torn ligaments, you had a broken bone, I believe, right?
Yeah, so I tore my ACL, my LCL, my POL, my... now it's been so long. ACL, LCL, MCL,
all
PCL,
the L's.
Yeah, lateral meniscus. I broke my fibula. I had perineal nerve damage, so I couldn't move my big toe for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And I also tore the ligament that connects the tib-fib joint, so they had to repair that little guy as well. So, Dr. LaProd did an amazing job, and thank God for good doctors and therapists.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and if anyone ever questioned your toughness, those were the injuries that you were just about to walk off there on that slope in Germany.
Yeah, looking back, I don't know how I tried to stand on it, but I didn't know.
Yeah, well, there was that shock you mentioned that kind of set in, so.
Yeah, thank goodness for that.
So you've had a lot of surgery and reconstruction. You mentioned that we actually had to reschedule this interview because of one of your surgeries, but that's okay. I won't hold it against you. I imagine there's been lots and lots of exercise, physical therapy. Can you tell us a little bit about what that regimen has looked like?
Yeah. So for the first couple months, I had therapy twice a day, 7 days a week, and would do exercises at home on my own in between that. And from the point that I could get off crutches, I've been back in the gym doing cardio, strength training, coordination, a little bit of agility, and just trying to be dynamic again and trying to do all aspects of being back to general fitness and getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I get Sundays off, but yeah, I'm still working out 7 days a week, therapy most days, and
cool.
Just proves how much I need to get back.
I'm always really interested in some of the kind of more unusual or crazier exercises that sometimes these really high level athletes like yourself will do, and maybe especially from returning from an injury. Is there any sort of crazier things that your doctors are having you do, or things that non-athletes like myself would be surprised to hear or see?
We have little random things around that we do. Nothing, I don't think, too crazy. We have a ski simulator that I've been able to put my boots on and test out to see how it feels in that. We do some slackline stuff.
Oh, okay.
Juggling, so different coordination and stuff, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe nothing too crazy, but just little things, I guess.
Okay,
yeah.
They don't have you juggling chainsaws or anything like that.
Yeah, then I think I'd have to join the circus.
Right. Well, hey, you can be good at multiple things, right?
Yeah, there you go.
One thing that I also thought was interesting, I understand that part of this process has been working with a sports psychologist.
Yeah, definitely. It's a huge, huge part. I've been working with a gentleman named Alex Cohen, who works for the U.S. Olympic Committee, and he's helped out quite a bit with the grieving process. For the first couple months, he was really an intricate part of my therapy, and I still talk to him. I check in once a month or so, and it's been really helpful. I think there's been times where I felt a little bit depressed and overwhelmed with everything that's been going on.
Totally
so,
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great resource and I'm lucky to work with him.
Is that sort of his specialty, is working with athletes that have had setbacks or injuries?
I'm not sure if it's the level of significant injury, but he's works with all the USOC athletes. So I think he's had some good experience with, some traumatic injuries and stuff.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I imagine, that is why I thought it was a little interesting, because it wouldn't be surprising for, someone who had gone through such a serious injury. And of course, with the disappointment of having to miss the Olympics, that there might be some mental or emotional trauma to overcome that would be associated with that.
Yeah, it was tough just because of the way it happened, too.
Yeah.
I'd been dealing with a torn patella tendon for the year before, about a year before. And so it had been a long road just to get back to the circuit and build towards the Olympics. And it was just tough because I had tried to get back for that year for the Olympics, and then it went really well, and I was pretty successful, and then for it to all kind of just explode, I guess. It was hard. So the way that it all kind of happened too is just kind of took its toll mentally and emotionally and physically, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Is there anything you feel like you've learned through this process or through working with Dr. Cohen that might be more broadly applicable, or something that might help other athletes, other folks dealing with, you know, major life setbacks, maybe other athletes in dealing with, not in your case, hopefully, but it maybe in their case, career ending injuries or really serious injuries like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I've realized how important family and friends and that support that you surround yourself with is. I got so caught up in just the racing world that I've always been a part of, and thinking just ski racing is life and everything, and it almost just became just so much of me. It was just like, okay, that's what I do, but it's not who I am. And by having this injury, I've taken a step back and kind of had just this new perspective, I guess, of what's important. And and so it's good, been good to have that time with family and friends, and just have that new outlook, I guess. And if there was one thing that I could tell other athletes, like a big thing that I've learned is there's so much out there besides that sport. It might seem the biggest thing in the world, that it's the only thing that matters, and that it's just, that is your world. But then you take a step back from it and you just see how much is out there, and how really in the grand scheme of things, what we do, it's like, yeah, it's exciting, but there's so much else going on that is so much more important. And there's no matter what, there's going to be another chapter after ski racing, and who knows how soon that'll be. But when that time comes, I'll be, I think, ready for it. And I've just been really grateful to have been able to do the sport that I love for so long. So,
for sure.
Feels like a lot of positives.
And we already know the next chapter now. It's going to be Jackie joins the carnival as a new chainsaw juggler. So that'll be cool to see.
I'll be juggling sharp skis though.
Oh, okay. And then on a slack line while you're doing it.
Yeah, there you go.
It is cool, because obviously talking to you, I don't get the sense that you've lost any of your commitment or passion for your sport. It's just, it's not everything now. Like you've kind of said, it's still there. It's still very strong, but you kind of have it in a little bit better focus, or a little bit better in balance with other things that are obviously important to you.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm like, I'm still excited in the gym to be bigger, faster, stronger in every sense. And I feel like it's given me time to work on a lot of the little things athletically that I have time to improve on. And now it's, I'm excited to get back. I'm more motivated than ever. Like I haven't lost that fire to want to compete. I've still watched all the races this year, just so I can still feel a part of the race community and see what's going on. Even though I've felt pretty removed, I think I'll appreciate being on the mountains more. It's not that I didn't appreciate it before, but I feel like when you have something that you love so much taken away from you, it's always sad that you hear that, but it almost takes a moment when that gets taken away for you to appreciate it. So I definitely will appreciate the highs a lot more now that I've had kind of these tough lows.
Is there any part of you that is a little afraid, maybe, I don't know if that's the right word, but of getting back on the slopes, that like you don't know if you'll be able to go fast again, or you know maybe be afraid that something serious might happen again? Or
I mean, 100%. I felt like I was kind of young and invincible, and I was a big part of my style of skiing is kind of free flowing,
breakneck speed. That was your calling card, like.
I hope I don't lose that. I think I'm just going to bring a more mature approach to it, and not be so risky in parts that I don't need to be risky at. And I'm hoping that, you know, I'll have a bit of maturity to my skiing, and I will just, kind of still be able to get past that initial little bit of scare phase, I guess. But I mean, it's inevitable that I'll crash again at some point, just because that's kind of the nature of our sport. And, you know, once that happens and I realize that my knee is strong and okay, I think that'll give me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, yeah. So your approach be maybe a bit more wily?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry for the dad joke. So almost out of time, yeah. Are there any people, Jackie, that you might want to shout out or thank, or just anything you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have been able to, I feel like, stay so positive and strong and without the support of my family and friends. And, of course, everyone at Stedman Clinic and Dr. Laprade and Dr. Haymanek that put my knee and leg back together, and all the therapists with the U.S. Ski Team, mm-hmm. as well as Evro City Physical Therapy in Portland, and my strength coach Bob and Troy, Troy at Club Sport. I've just had a massive group of people that have helped this process, and yeah, I'm extremely grateful for their hard work and efforts.
Yeah.
And it definitely takes a village. I couldn't do it on my own.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy to, like, you know, have people that you can thank for, like, literally putting you back together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Thankfully, medicine's come a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So we're here in March. What's the very near outlook look like for you? What's next for Jackie Wiles?
Yeah. So 3 weeks ago, I had another operation done where I got all the hardware taken out, like I said, and now I have to wait 3 more weeks, so at the 6-week mark, I can start plyometrics.
Okay.
And so then I'll be trying to get a lot more of my power and velocity back, get a little bit of explosiveness, and then I'll test again to see if I can pass my return to snow. Normally, plyometrics will take a couple months to get that back, so if nothing kind of puts me back, I should be on snow hopefully by June. But at this point it feels pretty close now.
Cool Yeah, coming up just a few months, that would be awesome.
Yeah I think there'll be tears of joy finally.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, thank you so much for talking with us. I know maybe some of these memories are painful to revisit, but I appreciate you doing that. I do hope it's helpful for people to see some of the joys, but also the challenges of being a high-level athlete and maybe gaining something or some strength for their own lives. And we wish you absolutely the very best. Congratulations on all the success you've had, and wish you the best in your continued recovery, and hope to see you competing for our country again very soon.
Thank you, Tyler. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great chatting with you.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
I am not a golfer. I mean, I'm not a good golfer. So when I want to play a few rounds, I head over to Frontier Golf Course. They're a family-owned, family-friendly 9-hole course with beautiful scenery. And they let me rent clubs or bring my own. And they don't judge me for my slices and hacks. Or, you know, my language.
Frontier Golf Course is a great place to meet your buddies and have a drink, or bring your kids along. They're located on Holly Street, just north of town. If you hit the ferry, you've gone too far.
Also, please don't hit the ferry.
Yeah, please don't. But do ask them about Farley the Goat. They love that. Frontier prides itself on being the best value course you'll find in the area. If you haven't been by in a while, you've got to come check out what the new owners have done. Frontier Golf Course, it's a new frontier.
Hey, I'm Steve, owner of the FOB Tap Room in Canby.
And I'm Jen, the head bartender.
FOB stands for Friends of Beer, and that's what we are. It's even on my business card.
He's not kidding. It really is.
What?
Oh, nothing. Beer is practically an art form in the Pacific Northwest, and the FOB is the best place to enjoy all of your old favorites and even find some new ones. We have a constantly rotating selection of 36 of the best craft beers, ciders, and wines from right here in Oregon and around the world.
We also host an awesome trivia night on Wednesdays with tap takeovers and new release parties every month. There's always something going on here, so please come on by. We'd love to see you.
Find us in Canby Place on Southwest Berg Parkway and on Facebook and Instagram.
See you at the FOB.
Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Frankie. This is weird. I don't have my headphones on.
I know. I'm giving it back to you.
There we go.
Your head is so big.
Is it?
Yeah.
I guess I don't need these on.
I had to, like, now that the music's over.
Yeah,
I had to, like, hold it on with both hands.
Right.
So, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Loving technology today.
Oh, my goodness.
What's going on?
I've got all these podcasts that I'm doing.
And yeah, like, all both of them.
All two of them. and the first one I did this morning, just an hour and a half of recording, and absolutely none of it was usable.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then I tried to...
See, this is why you should only do ours.
Yeah, and then I do ours, and I record all the news, and then it crashes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so luckily I was able to recover those.
Yay.
But it's still...
Thank you, Adobe.
You almost got a rage quit text from me.
I quit. Be your own producer. Yeah. We tried that one time. That wasn't a great episode.
It was not good.
Anyway, just kidding. I'm sure the listeners loved it, right, guys? So this is...
You achieved it. You did more
did
than
it.
Most people do. So
oh, my gosh.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I almost rage quit. but this is the Cammy Now Soapbox. Welcome, listeners. This is a part where Tyler and I are hanging out and talking about different things that are going on. And we don't have a script for this.
We talk about soap and boxes.
We do.
I think I've done that joke before.
I think every time. but there's no script, so yeah. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
But then we could just edit it out. So. So did you get a chance to hear the interview for today? That was kind of interesting.
I haven't. I just threw it in.
Okay.
I haven't actually gotten to listen to it yet, though.
I'm really excited about it. It was really cool.
With Wiles?
Jackie Wiles. Yeah. Olympics here. So can you imagine making the Olympics for the second time?
You already lost me. Just the first time.
You can't imagine.
I can't even imagine doing
that. I'm not
that.
Even there. No, but I mean, right? Like... Even the top athletes, this happens to them like maybe two or three times, right? To make it to that level.
Yeah.
And then 2 days before you're about to get on a plane to go, you get hurt and you can't go.
I was about to rage quit over audio interference. I don't know what I would do if I lost my chance to go to the Olympics.
Yeah. I'm going to guess you wouldn't handle it great.
I don't think I would.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was a cool interview.
It's pretty interesting.
And yeah, she's a really cool person, and to be able to talk to her, we get to do some awesome stuff with this podcast sometimes.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really cool to talk to her, and I hope her story is encouraging. You guys have already heard it, so hopefully you were encouraged by it. But yeah, the main thing I wanted to talk about today was the story about Cambie Brewing.
Sure.
And the Cambie Library.
I know you are devastated over the Cambie Brewing.
I'm inconsolable. Yeah. Like, I was so upset.
I know. You wanted it so bad.
Oh, my gosh. I wanted it.
They're still going to go after it. So you haven't lost out on the possibility of it. It's just...
No.
It was so close. It was like you were about to go to the Olympics.
Right. It was like I was on my last race going down... You know, that beer, and then it was taken out of my clutches.
Yeah. I like how we're taking one girl's tragedy and making it a joke about beer.
Beer. I think it would have been great in that location.
Sure.
You know, like, they're still saying that they're going to do it, find another place, that they're not giving up on their dream, and that's great. And they are amazing people. I was really happy to hear that they had been picked to, you know, move forward with negotiations. There was never anything in place, but for that spot, I was happy for them. I'm happy that they're still looking to do it because Jared's a great brewmaster.
Yeah.
We've tasted some of his stuff, and they're just really nice people and, you know, young people that are going about it as well as they can.
I think there's also a sense for us where, like, we went to this business boot camp.
That's where we met them. Yeah, at the Dahlia.
They ended up winning a thing through that.
Right.
That we were also kind of competing for.
Oh, we were competing.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it was a very, very close second with us.
So. That's what I'm saying is we were second. And so, like, for us, we want to see them succeed because it's always best to know that you were beaten by the champion.
Right.
You know,
right.
You were second place to the champion.
Right. If you're like March Madness is coming up, right? If your team loses, but then that team goes on to win, you're like, okay,
well, we were beaten by the best.
But if your team loses and then that team gets beaten by like 60 points the next game, you don't feel great.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're rooting for them. We're rooting hard.
Yeah. So yeah, that was posted on Cami Now by us.
Yeah.
And it was kind of weird how it came out. Like, in these things, these negotiations are all closed, right? So the city owns this property, mm-hmm. and the real estate things, but by Oregon law, like, they're allowed to happen behind closed doors. Those negotiations don't need to be public, because there's other realtors and other buyers and other things, and it's not fair to any of the parties involved for all these other people to be privy to those negotiations, right?
Sure.
So once it's public, once it's finalized, then it becomes public. But
yeah,
that never happened in this case.
Right.
They were discussing a lease agreement or a possible lease to sell. And it never got to that point. So we don't know what the negotiations were that led the city to change course and say, we're just going to take it back, take it off the market.
Right.
And that's unfortunate, because I think that by virtue of the city council and the mayor picking the Cambie Brewing Company from the proposals for this building showed that they didn't want this. You know,
sure.
There were some other really great proposals that had been put forth, and they picked this. And the way it all came out, it looks like, and people are saying on Cambie Now on the Facebook page, like, they, you know, obviously the city never wanted this, or,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Because they can't say what happened, why right. they decided to move on. So I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
And it's right for them to not disclose those negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, that's between them. All we know is it didn't work out.
It didn't work out, and I'm so upset.
I know you are. But let's talk about what the future of that might hold, right?
Well, I don't like to speculate on that stuff, but you can.
Well, I'm not going to speculate. What I will do is tell you guys what I think, like, a 12-year-old kid speculated.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
oh,
got,
yeah,
yeah. Like, super true. Close to what might have been chosen. He basically said, like...
Well, explain why you were talking to a 12-year-old kid, because it sounds weird.
I just randomly talk to 12-year-old kids all the time. No, we were at the Cambie Thriftway.
Our first live event.
Yeah, hanging out.
Cuts Force Market. You always call it Cambie Thriftway. I think they want to be called Cuts Force Market.
I can't say Cuts Force. That's why I say
you just said it. That sounded great.
No, that took so much effort.
But it sounded amazing.
I have to, like,
I don't even
slow
have my
down
headphones
my sentence.
On,
I have to slow down my
Cuts
sentence.
Force.
Cuts Force. No, I can't. Cambie Thriftway. That's what I call it.
Okay.
It's Thriftway. It's the Cambie Thriftway. That's,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Now you got me all weird. And
so, we were doing our first live event. It was super fun.
Yeah.
We had a bunch of kids come by. We had some folks who were shopping there. And we were just doing games. We were doing a little on-site recording, which we're going to play at the end of this.
Okay.
So you guys will hear some of the people. We had this spinny wheel, and we were giving away free coffee
yep.
and a bunch of other prizes. You
yep.
were doing, like, magic.
I was doing magic tricks and juggling for people.
You were. Yeah, it was crazy. I had my kids, which yeah. was, like, traumatic at times, mm-hmm. but also fun.
It was cool.
I think the highlight for me was that a Cub Scout called me a friggin' idiot.
I know, that was so ridiculous. The Cub Scouts. Oh, my goodness. My favorite part was when your son grabbed a handful of the handouts and then proceeded to cough on just straight cough. And we're like, all right, well, that pile of handouts doesn't get used.
Yeah, we have these great little cards that talk about the show and
yeah.
how to get it on your phone, because we get asked all the time, how do I listen to this weird thing?
Yeah.
He's been sick, and he's getting an attitude. Like,
yeah.
they'll be like, cover your mouth, and he'll be like, no. And I'm like, yes, 3-year-old.
Don't argue with me.
Anyway.
But no, it was really cool to meet a lot of the people that have listened to our show.
Yeah,
that
was
cool.
We met a lot of people that are like, oh, I already listened.
A couple of the girls from the drama club, that was really cool, because
mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten to meet them.
Yeah.
And they're like my favorite people in Cambie. So,
yeah,
like,
so
it
cool.
sucks, because I want to meet them.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them was a Hufflepuff, so.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Your Hufflepuff hat, which you're wearing now.
Always.
Well.
I wear it always.
Yeah. So it was really fun. There were a few people that were like, would walk by us really fast. They're like,
oh,
not make eye contact. So I think that people thought we must be selling something, which I get. Like, usually.
We have a booth.
Usually,
yeah.
people that are at the Cambie, I almost said it, the Cuts Force Market. with a table or like selling, but they're like authors right. or whatever. That's
also,
fine, but...
someone told me that we just looked like adult versions of the Boy Scouts.
Really?
We did have our uniforms, and all that. So
it was maybe not the greatest. So we were there on the same day as the Cub Scouts and the Girl Scouts were also at different stores and stuff. But whatever. But yeah, we're gonna do it again. If you see us, feel free to stop by and say hi. We promise we don't want your money.
I'll do a magic trick.
We'll do magic tricks. We just want to meet you and say hi. I did have one lady. So we got a lot of like, we'd be like, hey, have you heard of our show? And they like walk by really fast, or like maybe say like no as they're like, you know, like turning the corner. I had one woman, I was like, hey, have you heard of our show? And she like does this whole time we're having this conversation, she does not break stride once, you know, so she's walking and she's like, oh yeah, actually my husband's doing something with you guys. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. What's your husband's name? And she's gone, you know, like, it's like, I thought we were talking, but anyway.
Why would you say something interesting like that?
It's like, she's like, and she's gone. So anyway.
Anyway, that is all to get to the point of. A young gentleman approached us.
Oh, yeah.
He spun the wheel.
I forgot there was a reason.
Yeah, I did a magic trick for him. And then we asked if he had any ideas for the show, and he said, you guys should talk
about... For the building.
Well, for the show, yeah.
I thought he came back, and he was like, hey...
I'm trying to simplify this story. Okay. He came back, he said, you know, you guys should talk about what's going on at the old library. And
that's
we're like,
right.
Oh, actually we are.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of fell through. And he's like, well, you know, I did talk to the mayor.
Oh, here's what he said. I think that was because of me.
Oh, because of me. Yeah, like, this 12-year-old
such an
boy.
Awesome kid.
Yeah, because I was talking to the mayor and I was telling him how I think, you know, they should put in a place where you can have, like, your own little businesses. Like, if someone wants to have a lemonade stand or something.
A coffee shop.
Yeah. You know, like these food carts and stuff. And then you can open them up inside of that and people can just go in. And we're like, dude, that's super weird because that's actually one of the... That's one of the things that they're considering.
You just described a business incubator, which is exactly what the city administrator said is one of the main things they're going to be looking at for that space.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, because he's like this 12-year-old kid. He starts to talk, and of course, I don't know about you, but me, I'm like, this is going to be something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like he starts like, you know, you go in and you pay, and I assume he's going to be like, and there's like movies playing on the ceiling, and there's trampolines on the walls, and you get Nerf guns or whatever, and you know, that's what it should be. But then he says what said, and my jaw kind of drops and I'm like, wow, like,
so I'm gonna start voting for that kid.
Yeah,
when
that kid's gonna be mayor
office.
In about 10 years though.
10 years? Wait, how young can you be in
you have to be voting age.
Yeah I didn't know if it was like president. You could be
35. It's not like president.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, it actually, this is, a lot of people get confused by about this, but it does not say the age that the Canby mayor has to be in the U.S. Constitution. Just the president. Yeah. No. Just talks about the age of the president.
I thought they were going to say, like, and then when Canby gets made,
founded,
in,
this is
you
how
know,
old the mayor can
years.
Be. Yeah. Does not say that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
And you learned something today.
Yeah, every day. We'll have to do a history lesson on that, on everything that they didn't talk about for Canby.
Right. But anyway, super sad for Canby Brewing. Hope they find a space. We continue to be a huge supporter of theirs and look forward to seeing Canby's first brewery, first craft brewery, first brew pub, hopefully come into fruition. That'd be awesome. So, and hopefully something cool goes into the library space.
Yep.
Okay, you're giving me the look.
Yeah, you know what I want.
I gotta find it.
I need instant gratification.
I know. I have one.
Work. One?
I have one. It's a long one though. It's longer than usual.
Okay.
So this was on our Facebook page. We had Jason Parham. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And he says, "This. You ready?
He says,
awesome local news podcast. This is a fun and interesting way to get local news about Canby. Frankie and Tyler work great together and put a lot of, he mentioned both of us.
He specifically said Frankie and Tyler, so well done.
Put a lot of effort into making this podcast special. They give you a behind-the-scenes type look at local topics that actually matter instead of the shallow sensationalism of your typical news source.
Yeah.
If you want to stay up to date on the happenings of Canby, I highly recommend that you listen and subscribe to this podcast. Thank you, Jason.
Dude, that was like an in-depth
review. That is much longer than our usual Facebook reviews, which we don't complain. Like, right. We'll take whatever. I think it has to be at least 25 characters or something, but if you just hit that limit and then hit send, we'll take it.
Good. Yeah,
as long as fine. It's positive. But yeah, we really appreciate that. And yeah, keep those reviews coming. They really help us out, help raise our profile on the interwebs and get more people to check us out. And you might get your review read on the show. You probably will, because Tyler's always making me do it. So
always, even the bad ones.
Yeah. You want to let these guys hear? So we recorded some people at the show at the live event.
Yeah.
And we promised we'd get them on the show.
Yeah.
Got it right here.
Yeah.
Should we play it?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
Let's do it.
Get stickers.
I'm from Canby, and I love it.
Get free stickers.
Canby rocks.
I'm from Canby.
And it's a great place to live.
And it's a great place to live.
I'm so glad I don't live in a huge city.
Yeah, I'm so glad I don't live in a really big city.
I feel like this is really sincere, and this is just coming straight from you and not from anyone else. Is that right?
I don't know.
What's your name?
Eden.
Eden. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, can you tell me your name?
My name is Meridian Ladig.
Okay, and you get some time on the show. You can say whatever you want. Go for it.
Okay, so I was wondering if you could see any theatrical production, any, like, movie adapted into a play at the high school, what would you want to see?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yes.
I would think I might want to see Our Town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you're in luck because tonight is our last two shows at 2 and 7.
No way. What? I could see that at the Canby Fine Arts Center at 2 and 7 today?
Exactly. You're right.
Thank you, Meridian. That's awesome.
Thank you so much.
So this won't air until Monday, by the way.
All right. Cool. It's okay.
But I'm sure it's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I hope that everybody gets to see. It's a really cool play.
I hope you guys all saw it.
Thank you.
All right. Do you want to say your name again?
Lillian Butch.
All right, Lillian. You just won the opportunity to ask me any question. And what's your question?
My question is, do you know how to play Dungeons & Dragons?
Oh my gosh, what a good question to ask Tyler Clausen.
I'm a dungeon master. I play Dungeons & Dragons every week.
Yeah, he slides in the DMs, that's what they say, right?
No, they do not say that.
Oh, okay.
I have played for the last 15 years of my life. I am a big fan of Dungeons. Do you play?
I've never played before, but I went over to one of my mom's friend's house and watched them play.
Oh, cool.
Watched people play D&D? That's commitment.
They do.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to start a campaign together.
The library is doing a teen sing for D&D for kids to learn how to play.
That's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and also,
it's a special day.
Yeah.
Lillian, this is your, I think, 90th birthday, right?
10th.
Oh, I was close. I was a little bit. Happy birthday!
Thank you.
So we're all going to sing for you, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, ready? 1, 2.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Lillian. To Desserts in Wilsonville with the owners Brandon and Chanel Walters. How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Good. We're about to hear about your guys' quest to discover if there's anything that you can't wrap bacon in, right, and make it good.
So. We're definitely on that quest.
We haven't found anything yet.
No, everything has been delicious with bacon.
Awesome. Well, your guys' desserts are, people can try in Canby at Gwyn's Coffee House, right? What kind of stuff can they find there?
Gwyn's carries our classic coffee cakes, our scones. They have cake pops, cookies, bars, all sorts of different stuff.
Other kinds of coffee cake. They do a raspberry coffee cake there. They do coconut macaroons, which are a popular one. Mm-hmm. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they're
sandwich
cookies. I know
my kids love the cake pops. So.
Yeah, yeah, the okay, cake good, pops are good. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, they do.
Yeah, they have a good variety of our stuff over there.
And they doctor up our brownie over there, I believe. Mallory does a little special twist on it.
Oh, so. Okay. He's always experimenting with stuff.
Yeah, he is. He's quite the chef.
Cool. So, yeah. Well, tell me about this bacon thing. We've got one here. You guys came out with a couple weeks ago, right?
We did for Valentine's Day. We just kind of wanted to have something that was more dude-oriented.
Okay.
And so I was like, let's make, you know, apple pie and bacon. And we're like, let's put it together. You know, like you can get apple bacon sausage and all these different flavors. And so it seems like a good combination. So we took our bourbon apple pie and we slapped bacon on the top of it. And now we can't keep them stocked. Everybody.
Is that the technical bacon term, slap bacon on it?
Exactly, yeah. We slapped it on in a real nice lattice fashion and whipped them up.
Very nice.
It
very
smells
beautiful.
Delicious.
Yeah.
But we've heard nothing but great things about it, awesome. And we love it ourselves, so it's and it ended up sticking to the menu, so now you can get it here daily until we sell out. And
has it been mainly the dudes that are...
It's been a mix, but
I'd
a lot 50-50. Of guys...
Yeah,
I would probably say it's probably like 70% dudes, 30% women coming to check them out. But it definitely has that special something about it, kind of like a little different, a little salty, a little sweet.
I saw it on social media. I feel like it's been getting shared a lot through there.
Yeah. We told people we were going to have more last week, and we sold out before we could even put them out.
Oh
so,
my gosh.
Like this week we've made more, and we're hoping to keep them in stock longer so everybody can come in and try them. But yeah, they've been a huge hit.
Has it been the first... thing that you've tried as far as more outreach to men? Because the classic the wedding design, wedding cake design business
our
trend.
Demographic is definitely the ladies.
Yeah.
We tend to appeal to moms are usually planning birthday parties, and we've got our brides that are usually handling most of the details. So
you do the cool birthday cakes for babies.
Yeah,
for,
we like do the reveal cakes. We do first smash birthday cakes. We do lots of fun stuff. But we definitely have, I think, like more of a lady crowd.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of dudes that come in and really like our brownies and our coconut macaroons, our jumbo chocolate chip cookies. And so we wanted to give them something else too that would be like pie related, that, you know, a little salty, a little sweet, and this has been the perfect perfect treat.
Cool. Is this your only bacon thing that you're doing
right now? But we have more coming because we've realized how many people are really digging it. So we've done like maple bacon cupcakes in the past, and
the sweet rolls.
We've done the sweet rolls with maple bacon, and those will be hitting the menu again in a couple of months. And then, but we're working on something special. It's going to be like a brownie dipped in chocolate with bacon on it. I feel like it's going to be amazing.
That sounds so good. Yeah.
It's just that nice crunch, the saltiness with the sweet. So.
Right. Isn't like how stereotypical can we get? Can you like serve it on a football with like a glass
of beer? Right. You know, we probably could. We could make that work if that was what was needed. But we just like want people to know about us.
Yeah.
And especially in the area, like we're tucked away. We're in Charbonneau. We're a hidden gem. And, we're maybe a little bit off the beaten path, but we've got it's worth the trip. Like we say, we're a destination bakery. You're coming out here to see us, and the bacon bourbon apple pie is putting us on the map for sure.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Okay, can I try it?
Yeah, please go for it.
I'm a little intimidated. It seems like it'd be hard to sort of cut into.
I feel like if you just dig into it like a regular pie,
just pretend like the bacon's
yes.
not there.
Okay. Yep.
I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, it's a little softer than it seems.
And we might need to get you a knife. I realize I might have set you up for failure here with just the fork.
Yeah, that's okay.
And it is pretty warm, so.
Okay. I'm a big fan of apple pie and bacon. Never thought I'd be eating them at the same time. But.
I know, right? I think most of our people have felt that way and then have come back and been like, dude, that was so good.
Surprising how well it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Okay.
What kind of things have you heard from people? It's really good.
I think, one person came in and he came back specifically to tell us that it was the best thing he's ever eaten
in his
life.
Oh, wow. That's so sweet. Yeah.
And then we've heard good things of people just, like, coming back and buying them again. They're like, oh, my God, like, that was so amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's one of those ones that's good hot, good cold.
Yeah.
You know, like... If you think about, like, the way bacon kind of takes on, like, that crunch, so in this form, when it's warm, it's, like, soft and kind of gooey about the pie.
Yeah, exactly. And it's
crust.
breakfast. It's not overly sweet at all. Right. It doesn't seem like a dessert. It seems more like like a meal.
Yeah,
like something I take on the hiking trail.
Yeah, you should take the guys on the hiking trail. But cool. yeah, we're really excited about them because it's just got something different, you know, and you don't need to have all that crust. You can have something.
Thank you, too, for remembering the men. Like, nobody ever remembers us, you know? We're such a minority. But I do appreciate it. It's a great idea, especially on Valentine's Day, to think about the guys, because that is more a thing for the
ladies. All the guys usually come out and get the chocolates and the flowers for the ladies. But, I mean, like, what are you taking home to your significant other? Right. And turns out it was the bourbon apple bacon pie.
Well, thank you, guys. When are you coming to Quince?
I know, right? We should reach out to them and let them know.
Show Valerie that you have this. All right, I will see you guys. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Are you a small business owner or maybe thinking of investing in yourself with your very own startup? Awesome! Now all you have to do is reach potential customers at a time when consumers have never been more fragmented, more distracted, or more difficult to reach. If that sounds hard, believe me, it is. That's why I make Frankie do it.
Carrie and her team at Promotional Strategies offer strategic, purposeful solutions to build your brand with lasting promotional items that make sense for you and your company. They are creative geniuses who will deliver advertisements that people actually thank you for and will use every day. We've tried other sellers, and we trust Carrie to provide high-quality branded items that we can be proud of. Find them at 695 Southeast 1st Avenue in Canby or online at ps266swag.com.
And that's our show. Special thanks to our guest today, Jackie Wiles, and to all of our sponsors who really make it possible to do what we do. We encourage you to check them out and help support the local small businesses who support us. Hey, if you like what you just heard, please let us know. Write a review for us on Facebook, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss our latest episodes.
In our next show, we'll be bringing you our biggest interview ever. I mean, in terms of number of people. We'll be hanging out with four Canby guys who went into the Marines together and all wound up in the same platoon. They'll tell us stories from boot camp and what led to their decisions to serve their country. Hoorah!
If you have a news tip, an idea for a guest we should invite on the program, or suggestions of how we can improve, please contact us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Canby Now, or on our website, canbynowpod.com.